Blog Talk Radio.
I want to just take them back for a moment. Is it all right if I take you back to the church where Crab family used to go? Now, we didn't go to one of those that was real, real quiet. And I guess you could tell that, couldn't you? But we used to... We used to love what, you know, our salvation. We had a great time when we went to church. So give me that key. And this is kind of how we do it. We'd start off by singing a little something like this when we walk in. Well, can't nobody do me like Jesus can do me. Can't nobody do me like my Lord. You know why? Because he's my very best friend. Y'all okay? Because then we'd go something like this. Well, can't nobody
do me like he knows.
Can't nobody, church,
do me like the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Open your Bibles with me into the book of Joshua, chapter number 24. Joshua at chapter 24, verses 14 and verse number 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, hallelujah, we will serve the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Be careful who you choose. Be careful who you choose. Moses has delivered this bedraggled people, and they are now in the promised land with the smell of brick dust still in their garments. Moses has been put to sleep by God in the plains of Moab. And Joshua, his successor, has taken this people across the Jordan River into the land of the Canaanites. And Joshua has, as a military general, trampled Jericho, conquered Ai. He has routed the enemies of the people of God. Everyone has received their inheritance. Caleb has gone back to his inheritance, and Joshua is now 110 years old, and he calls the children of Israel to the valley of Shechem. It is significant that he calls them to the valley of Shechem, for Shechem's valley is regnant with their past and pregnant with their future. In the valley of Shechem is residue from Abraham's life. It is in Shechem's valley that God promises Abraham a seed. It's in the valley of Shechem that Abraham builds an altar. It's in Shechem's valley that the bones of Jacob and Isaac, Leah and Rebekah, have been interred. It's in the valley of Shechem that they stand all day in between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim and hear the law of God read to them, and all of them say, Amen. It's in the valley of Shechem that Joshua, at 110 years old now, calls them to say farewell. And in his valedictory, He rehearses how good God has been to them. He says, God led us with a strong arm and an outstretched hand. I wish I had a Bible reader here. When we got hungry, he fed us. When we were thirsty, he gave us water to drink. Their clothes and their sandals would not wear out. He gave them fresh manna every morning. He helped them to rout their enemies. The walls of Jericho just came tumbling down. God had been their protector. God had been their provider. God had been their keeper. Everything they needed, God provided. And he says, now you have a choice to make. You can serve the gods on the other side of the river. You can serve the gods from the land of Egypt that you just got delivered from. Or you can serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, and I'm speaking for my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to get this. Moses trained Joshua to be his successor and Israel's new leader. But Joshua and the elders of the people did not train their successors because they were too busy conquering the Canaanites, routing the Amorites. And so they did not train anybody in the fear of the Lord. And because Joshua and the elders had no trained successors, Israel was always one generation away from apostasy. Because when you get to Judges chapter 2, Judges chapter 2 says, there arose another generation who did not know God or what he had done for Israel. And Lily Grove, if we don't train young people in the faith, we are one generation away from passing on this corner and nothing we did will have lasted. Wish I had a witness here. We have people coming to church, and you would think by now that they would have it. But they don't have it. They are not trained to fear God. While we are busy building a building, we better get busy building some people. Because we could have a building with no people in it. Or we could have people in it who don't fear God. And what's the use of having a church house if it's not populated with people who fear God? The fear of the Lord. I wish I had a Bible reading. Is the beginning of wisdom. Moses trained Joshua, but Joshua failed to train his successor. And as a result, Israel was always on the precipice of apostasy. And brothers and sisters, you don't have to believe this, but all it takes is 25 years. A generation, and everything we have tried to build will come to nothing. I'm brokenhearted because every time I go home to Eunice, where I'm from, to the church I was born and raised in, preached my first sermon there, pastored, baptized, married children there. And I go back to that church now, and there is no vestige that I had ever been there. Because they have almost systematically erased that I used to be that church's pastor. I think on purpose, it's malignant intent to get away from the faith of their fathers. And Lily Grove, it can happen to us if we don't train young people to fear the Lord. Talk back to me if you can. We need to stop letting people live like they want to live in the church and set some boundaries, set some standards, or else there will come another generation who will not know God or what God has done for this church. Stony the road we've trod. Bitter has been our chastening rod. Felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat have not our weary feet come to the places for which our fathers sighed. The scripture says, don't remove the ancient landmark. Every time God did something for them, they built an altar. They erected a monument to remind them that it was on this spot God kept us. And every time God brings you out, every time God makes a way for you, every time God opens a door for you, you don't need a monument or a stone or an altar, but in your praise, you need to let somebody know that it was nobody. I see you. I see you. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. You trying to act like you made it because you smart. You trying to act like you made it because you got money. There's a whole lot of folks smart on the streets right now. There's a whole lot of folks got money but no appetite. Got a house but not a home. Give God the praise. And then tell your children it was nobody but the Lord. Now listen.
Go ahead and preach up. Go ahead.
Joshua does something that I never do. Joshua is giving an invitation. And when I give an invitation, I never present other options. When I open the doors of the church, I never say choose door number one or door number two or door number three. I never leave it open for options. But Joshua says you have options. And whichever God you choose will set the course of your life. I thought about that. I prayed about that and asked the Holy Spirit to open my understanding about that. Joshua is a military tactician. Joshua is a commander. He's a general. He's accustomed to giving orders. Joshua says it and he makes them do it. But now he gives them choices. Because Joshua suggests to me, Terry, you can't order people in the kingdom. You can't force anybody into service for the Lord. Because if you make them come, they'll do it, but they won't mean it. But if you let them come, I wish I had a witness here. If you show them some option of this God is like, as opposed to what this God is like, that will make a difference. Listen, before Joshua gives them some options, he stacks the deck for Jehovah. He said, now, choose whatever God you want. But first, let me tell you what this God did for me. Somebody ought to help me preach it. Choose whatever God you decide, whatever God you set your heart on. Go after that God. But let me tell you first what this God did for us. When we were slaves, he sent us a deliverer. When we could not know how we were going to make it, he opened the Red Sea. When we were hungry, he sent manna from heaven. There was nothing but rocks in the wilderness. We got thirsty. God gave us sweet water out of a rock. Now, choose these other gods if you want. But as for me and my house, we going with God number one. Watch this. The God you choose will determine the direction of your life. He says, you can choose the gods of your mothers and fathers. The gods of the Chaldeans in the land beyond the river where Abraham was called. In that land, with those gods, there were three cosmic deities, three astral deities, and all kinds of gods to go along with the lifestyle of the Chaldean. And if you want that God, choose him. Choose the gods of your mothers and fathers. Now, brothers and sisters, that God of your mother and father, What Joshua is saying to us is, psychologically, that is what is called transference. And psychologically, transference is the law of exposure. Whatever you are exposed to the most, invariably and inevitably, that is what you will gravitate towards. For example, if your father loved sports, you will become a sports lover. Football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is. If your father loves that, that's what you will become. If your mother was into shopping and clothes, cooking and housewares, invariably, that's what you will gravitate towards. It's the law of transference. It's the law of exposure. Whatever you are exposed to the most, you will gravitate towards that because you've been around that all of your life. And brothers and sisters, we need to be careful what we are transferring to our children. Because your children will learn to love the God you choose. If you're crazy about money, sex, politics, power, prestige, cars, cash, clothes, you will transfer that to your children. And they will learn to love what you love, no matter how false that thing is. Somebody ought to help me preach it. If you love church, your children will love church. If you love preaching and the preacher, your children will develop your attitude. You don't have to take my word for that. They'll get them a little microphone and make them a pulpit and start preaching like Reverend Anderson because you bring them to church. Somebody ought to help me preach it. Conversely, if you are against the church and against the preacher, you transfer that to your children in your attitude towards supporting it. Y'all got mighty quiet on me right there. If you love the Lord and his church, you don't have to say anything. Just watch them. They'll start playing church. They'll start preaching. They'll start singing like they hear the choir singing. And somebody will shout and somebody will pick somebody up, because you bring them to church so much that they start acting like church folk, because you transfer to them what you love the most. He said, you can serve those gods, but they don't satisfy. Then he said, you can serve the gods of the Egyptians that God just brought you from. Now, what sense does it make to go back to a god, small g, that he just brought you from? Somebody ought to help me. If you worship anything and God delivers you from that, it's wise not to go back to that, because the demons come seven times stronger than they were before. If God has delivered you from an addiction, don't go back to that. Don't hang around a crack house. Don't hang around a nightclub. Come on, talk back to me here. Don't hang around a strip club. If God has delivered you from that, get away. Why would you want to go back to a God you just been delivered from? The scripture says that's like the dog going back to lick up his own vomit. The very thing that made him sick, he go and eat that thing again. Come on, talk back to me if you can. God has brought you from some stuff. I said God has brought you from some stuff. God has delivered you from some pain. God has brought you out of some depression. God has rescued you from some abuse. Why would you go back to what God just got you out of? What is your Egypt? The Egyptians had gods for everything. They had fertility gods. They had gods. They worshiped the sun, the moon, the stars. Everything was a god, because they were pantheistic in their faith. And then Joshua says, listen, if you forsake the gods of your mothers and fathers and forsake the gods of the Egyptians that God just delivered you from, it's very possible you could be caught up in the gods in whose land you dwell. Because the gods of culture, the draw, the attraction of the gods of this culture is proximity. Time and place. We are so close to these gods that they are hidden in plain sight. And their influence is so imperceptible that you can be caught up in it before you even recognize it. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to grab this. The opposite of theism is not atheism. The opposite of theism is idolatry. And idolatry is not just the worship of false gods. Idolatry is worshiping the true God falsely. And it is very possible to worship the true God falsely. God is not in these bricks and wood and pews and doors. Because we confuse worship with religion. But if you change the religious language, everybody born of a woman is hardwired for worship. And if it's not God, you're going to worship something. Whatever you give your money to, that's what you worship. Whatever you spend your time doing, that's what you worship. Talk back to me if you can. If you love God, you're going to spend your money at the church. You're going to spend your time at the church. You spend your resources. You spend your life giving it to God, because worship is not a religion. It's a lifestyle. And my lifestyle is around the church. I was preaching in San Antonio a few weeks ago in that citywide institute. And some young preachers who admire my preaching for some reason. They watch me on YouTube, and I'm their YouTube pastor. And they took me to dinner one evening, and they said, "Reverend, we heard that you live close to your church." I said, "I could throw a rock and hit Lily Grove from my house." And they said, "Reverend, that's old school. How you do that? I can't do that. How you live by them people?" I said, "People who barbecue smell like barbecue. People who fix cars smell like oil. Shepherds who lead sheep ought to smell like sheep. If I can eat from them people, I ought to be able to live with them people. And I don't have anything to hide that I got to live 40 miles from the folk I leave. Because I try to live my life and preach my sermons in such a way that if they know Rev has fallen," he told us about that last Sunday, "all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not above the people I try to lead. I'm a fellow sinner." You gonna help me preach here a minute? "And to live with them people is not old school. It's just loving folk who love you. And trying to be steward over what God has given you. Everything that concerns me is within a block. From one side of the street to the other side of the street. It's about what my life consists of. And when I want to get outside the loop and go someplace else, I get outside the loop. But sooner or later, I come back to 7046 or 7034 Tier Western Street. Because my life consists of what I do. Because that's what I worship. I worship God. And so I live where near I worship. So if it's raining, if it's got ice on the street, if it's cold, if nobody can get here but me, I can run up here and preach to myself and run back home and sit down and eat me some pig's feet with cornbread and greens. Because God's been good to me in a block radius. Listen, when you really know who you are and you're comfortable in your own skin, you don't need a whole lot. Somebody ought to help me preach it. It don't take a whole lot for you if you're really glad about who you are. God's been good to me in a block radius. Yeah. He says you can serve the gods of your fathers that you met on the other side of the river. Or you can serve the God of the Egyptians that God just brought you from. Or you can serve the gods in whose land you dwell. That's your choice. I'm leaving that up to you. I've been your general since Moses died. But I can't make you serve Moses' God. You got to make a choice. But while you're choosing, let me give you some background. Let me give you some history. Let me rehearse in your hearing who it was that kept you. And for somebody in here who's trying to decide what God you're going to serve, let me rehearse for you some history. He's been a company keeper. He's been a shelter in a time of storm. He dried your tears. He opened doors that were closed in your face. He put your table. He made your enemies leave you alone. When nobody was on your side, he was there protecting you. Ever got a witness here? When you didn't have a job, you never lost your house. When no money was coming in, you ate every day. You got clothes in your closet and can't decide what to put on. Ever got a witness here? God's been good to you. God has opened doors for you. God has made so many ways for you. So while you're trying to decide on what God to choose, let me speak for me and my house. As for me and my house. Now some of y'all can't speak for your house. I wish I had a witness here. Because some of you are scared of your children and don't want to hurt your little grand boy's feelings. But as for me and my house, I wish I had somebody raised like I was raised. When I was coming up, my mama and daddy didn't ask us if we wanted to go to church. They made us get up on Sunday morning and find our way to the Lord's house. They didn't bring baby dolls and coloring books. They made us sit down in church. We had to go to Sunday school, and then we had to go to 11 o'clock service. And then we had to go to Baptist Training Union. And then we had to be there almost all night in night service. And then get home and take off your church clothes. And get up the next day and put on your school clothes. Come back from school and then put on your play clothes. We couldn't iron on Saturday night. But on Saturday night. Because you couldn't put an ironing board up on Sunday morning. Because Sunday was the Lord's day. Have I got a witness here? My mama would cook on Saturday night, and we would eat on Sunday morning, what we call our Sunday dinner. You're going to help me preach this, won't you? You could smell fried chicken all over the neighborhood because that was our Sunday dinner. But God has been better than that. Here we are now, can drive what we want to drive, sleep where we want to sleep, spend money that we all have because God's been good to us. But God has been better than that. Somebody here has been sick and couldn't get well, but the Lord healed your body. But he's been better than that. Somebody here lost a loved one and you thought you'd never stop crying, but then the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. But he's been better than that. One Friday on an old rugged cross, he died. Didn't he die? But he's been better than that. Bright early Sunday morning, he arose. Didn't he rise? But he's been better than that. He sent the Holy Ghost to keep me until he comes again. But he's been better than that. One of these days, he's coming back again. And when he comes back again, somebody ought to help me preach it. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the good things that God has in store for them that love him. You see these commercials on television that's advertising these various products, and then the announcer on the commercial says, but there's more. He makes an announcement about how good the product is, and then he said, wait, there's more. And then he talks about what the product can do and how many you can receive for a certain dollar amount. He says, wait, there's more. Well, come on to the Bible for a minute and let me introduce you to what God will do for you. The Bible says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. But wait, there's more. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. But wait, there's more. John said, I saw an elder, a witness. I saw them coming from the north and the south and the east and the west. And they had on white robes. And I asked the elder, who are they? But wait, there's more. He said, these are they who've come through great tribulation. Is there anybody here chose the right God? Is there anybody here made the right choice? Why don't you grab somebody? Tell them, I've decided to make Jesus my choice. I've decided. I know he's all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, getting us ready for that great day. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Are you ready for that great day? Why don't you hug somebody? Tell them, I'm ready. If he calls me tonight, I'm ready. If he calls me next year, I'm ready. If he calls me next month, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I know he's all right.
Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you. Beautiful word. Beautiful word. From Pastor Gary. Thank God. Praise the Lord. He titled, Be Careful Who You Choose.
I'm grateful. I'm thankful that I made the right choice.
Jesus is the choice.
I didn't choose my mother's God. I didn't choose the gods of culture. I didn't choose the God that he just brought me from. I made the right choice. Jesus Christ is the right choice. He is the way, the truth,
and the life.
No man comes to the Father except by him.
Except.
I am the door of the sheepfold. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I and my Father are one. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you will be also. I'm on my way to Canaan land. And if you miss me from singing down here, and you can't find me nowhere, come up to bright glory. I'll be singing there. I made the right choice.
A choice. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
The name of Jesus. Yes.
The Lord. Make the right choice. Make the right choice. Another day, God has blessed us.
Yes, he has, my brother. Blessed us
again. Beautiful service. Yes. Beautiful service.
You know praise something, God. Reverend?
Talk to
he said, I made the right choice. And we were trying to let the world know that there's still time, that you can still make the right choice. You don't have to stay on the wrong side, brother. You can still choose ye this day. That's what the Bible says. Who you will serve. There's still time. The blood is still running warm in your vein. You can come on the right side. Notice it feels so good to know that you know that you know that you may. Well, I set, you know, sometimes I set up, and this morning's one of them, just a thought to know, it fills me up. I get full just knowing that I know that I know I made the right choice. And I'm truly on the Lord's side. I get full with joy early in the morning just to know that I'm on the right side. And there's still room. There's room for my sisters and brothers. There's room for my children to come on over. Ain't it good? Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
Still good time. And I'm on the right side. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. It reminds me of it.
No good for nothing. The Lord allowed me to come over. He allowed me to come over. On the right side. Not even fitting to be over. It wasn't worthy to be. But the Lord allowed me to come on. There's still room.
Yeah.
And my soul just cried.
Yes, sir.
Tell God, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Love
yes,
sir.
Yes. There's still room. Yes. Room at the cross. There's
still room. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Songwriter say, though you may be high, can be low, but there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Millions, so millions have come. Still there's room. Room for you. Room for one. Hallelujah. Yeah, we thank God today how he has blessed us. He blessed us again. Hallelujah. The illustration with Joshua said, I'll choose you this day.
Yes.
He will serve. Hallelujah. That's the way God is. He leaves it open. He leaves it open. Yes. He don't force. He don't force nothing on you. Neither do we force anything on you. But it's your choice. Jesus right. Would be a good choice to make. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you. Hey, Martha, Nathan, we're at our time where you can push the one button, say if you want prayer, didn't understand something in the lesson, or if you just want to say thank you to the Lord. Now is the time. Our Honorable Amy has sent in the news what God gave her about that long for rescue. Long for rescue. Beautiful. In Matthew's first chapter, hallelujah. For the first verse, you will bring forth a son. You shall call him his name, Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. That's the choice we're trying to get you to make it. Make Jesus your choice. Jesus' name and mission are the same. He came to save us. Emmanuel means God. He's with it. Jesus, Holy Spirit, is with you. You don't have to walk alone. Hallelujah. What he's here for you with arms outstretched that he may receive you unto himself. Jesus came. He did so to save us from our sins, from ourselves. Yes, sir. His name means the Lord saves, and our salvation was his mission. The longing for a rescue that fills the human heart ultimately is met by Jesus. Hallelujah. If you need a friend, that's not a friend. Like Jesus, no, not one. He can be close to you. Hallelujah. He can be within you. He can help you along this way. Hallelujah. So, yes, trials and tribulations, they are definitely going to come. Why not have a Savior that can help you walk this walk? Why not have someone to help you endure the struggle? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Longing for rescue. If you are here to Jesus' name and mission, for the same, he came to save us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Also, to give us the land of what is. The land of what is. Our greatest hope comes from trusting God.
Trusting in the Lord. The
land of what is. Our greatest hope comes from trusting God. Praise the Lord. We all wish to avoid the tragedies of life, but when we do face hard times, our greatest help comes from trusting God. Our sure hope is in the land of what is. Yes, sir. I hear you. Psalms 46. Also, 46:1-7. Also, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. See, one beautiful thing about it, what God does, he gives us hope. hope of eternal life, hope of success. We're speaking of the land of what is. Hallelujah. When you transition from this life to the next, you're going somewhere. You might as well make heaven your home. Hallelujah. Because you're going somewhere. Put your own, I believe yesterday talked about hell and what in hell do you want?
Yes.
But today we're talking about the making Jesus your choice, and so that
you
go to the place where the land of what is and the land of no more, no more dying, no more separation, no more segregation. Oh, hallelujah.
Everlasting
land of what is. Yes, sir. Our greatest hope comes from trusting God.
Thank you
today. We praise God for all of you that have made this service just what God would have it to be. Hallelujah. The praise and the praying. The praise and the praise. If you want something to be a success, I have to start thanking God for it and start praying about it. Praise and success go together. Hallelujah. Praise and success. We thank God for your prayer. Thank God. Yes, we thank God for you turning aside just to tell God thank you. And I guarantee you, every time you tell him thank you, he'll remind you of something else that he has already done.
He's already done.
Thank you.
He's already building
your list. Just as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When you make Jesus your choice, you have already set yourself up for success. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may have some suffering along with that success, but that's all right. He's always really made a way out for you to succeed. So God bless you. His mission that he came to save us. Hallelujah. God bless you. God keep you, is our prayer. If there be no one else, hallelujah, we'll pray and continue to let God have his way in the name of Jesus.
Happy to
it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. If there be none other, thank you, Lord.
You know, Reb, I'm sitting here listening to the sermon in my head. I'm sitting there listening to you speak, and something just dropped in my spirit. You know, no matter what man do in life, no matter what we accomplish in life, we can't do it dead. We got to be alive to do
all
it.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I gave a little description on our service yesterday of one word.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give it to them this morning, if I may.
Okay.
I gave them one word. I would love to give them this word again. It's mm-hmm. one word, brothers and sisters. And when you hear it, it should make you want to get away from it. I don't want to paraphrase it, Reb. I want to give it exactly the way it's given. If you just bear with me a moment, I want to give it exactly the way it is given. I believe to my soul it's Revelation 20, verse 10, for those that want to look at it. It's Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Well, you know, yesterday I was sitting here on our Wednesday service, and before I gave them the word, I gave a definition of the word. And when I looked up the word, the definition gave me deceitful, evilness, trickery, everything that's unkind. It didn't give me nothing that was good. Befooling the man. And the word was deceived. And if you look at verse 10, I like the first sentence of verse 10. Verse 10, I just disconnected myself. Satan is truly busy. But we're going to work this out anyway. You know, chapter 20 of Revelation.
All right. Praise the Lord. It looks like the thing where the beef fell off. Praise the Lord. I think he fell off. We'll move on then. We'll have that tomorrow. If you can send it.
Amen. Satan is truly busy. You know what, Reb, I was sitting there, and we give Satan too much credit. Let me show you something. I was about to give it to him myself. Satan is truly busy. Satan allowed my phone to shut off. But you know, the one thing I like about it was, my God, he didn't let it shut off before I gave you the chapter and the verse in the name of Jesus. So even if I didn't get back, we was able to go there and look at what he said. But chapter 20, verse 10, Rev, I like the first sentence. It gives a perfect description to me of what Satan is truly about. And then you ask yourself, is this what you want to serve? Look what verse 10 says. It says, and the devil that deceived them, no need to say anything else. I don't want to read anything else.
Mm-hmm.
The devil, he's deceitful. He's no earthly good. And when I looked up the meaning of it, which I wanted to read the meaning to them, so they would truly understand what it says, you know. And it just gave nothing but bad things about that word. So why would you want to serve a master that he's letting you know in words he come to deceive you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we already know that he told the Lord he come to steal, kill, and destroy. Everything about Satan is about hurting. There's nothing about him that's good for you. So then,
right.
Then you go back and say, choose ye this day. As mm-hmm. for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. You know, I told him a long time ago on my service, I'd rather choose the Lord and follow him all the days of my life and get to the end and find out that it was all fake than to not do it and get to the end and find out that he's everything he said he was. Everything that he said he was.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather choose the Lord. And this is why the Bible tells us, Rev, choose ye this day. Whom you will serve. Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. This day, we will say, what a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord. Choose Jesus, a good choice.
Yes,
a good
yes,
choice.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes, praise the Lord. Would that be love? The door still open. There's still room at the cross.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank God. We truly thank God.
Yes, sir. You're wrong.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm so glad that that's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. You know, I heard Reverend Ray preach a sermon once. Young man was lost, and he couldn't come up with nothing to tell them how to get him home, Rev. But he thought of one thing. He said, there's a church down the street from my house. He said, on top of the church, there's a steeple. On top of the steeple, there's a cross. He said, Mr. Policeman, if you can get me back to the cross, I can find my
mm-hmm.
way home. And that's what a lot of us have to do. A lot of us just got to go back to the cross. If we just go back to the cross, we'll find our way home. In the name
mm-hmm.
of Jesus. Just got to get back to the cross. Thank you,
praise
Jesus.
The Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it looks like this is the sum of our service. So we thank God. We thank God for what he has done, what he allows us to experience. Oh, praise the Lord this day. As we pray, Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us this day. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to make a choice. Thank you, Father God, for we know we couldn't choose you, Father, but you first chose us and gave us the opportunity. Hallelujah. That we was once lost. And we look towards you for salvation. And we made you our choice. We, Lord, we said thank you. Thank you, Father, for first choosing us. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you, Father, for continually guiding us, continually keeping us. Thank you, Father. We pray for this broadcast that you will continue to keep it in your hands, Father. Direct us, lead us, and continue to guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Thank you for this sermon, Father. Hallelujah. Just want to tell you, Lord, that we love you. Thank you for the message, the messenger, and all those that played a part. Father, if they prayed, if they listened silently, Father, thank you, Father, for that. If they hoped for the success, thank you for that. Father, they gave, hallelujah, Lord, gave them their time, gave them their, oh, Father God, whatever support they gave, we tell you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. But now, Father God, keep us as we leave, hallelujah. Go about our day, bless us, keep us in our care. Bless those that have to travel over dangerous highways and byways. We ask, Father, for traveling grace for those, hallelujah, that would travel in the name of Jesus. But just want to tell you, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Father God. Until tomorrow, Father, we ask blessings. Keep us in thy care. In Jesus' name, we ask it all to be through. Bless those of the sick, the afflicted, hallelujah, the shut-in, Father God. Some are shut-in spiritually, hallelujah. Some need search of a deliverance. We ask that, Father. Some need healing, even of the body and even of the spirit. We ask, Father God, that you meet the needs of your people. Continue to look upon hearts and desire to please you, Father. Lord, we just love you. And we thank you. In the name of Jesus is our prayer. Until, hallelujah, we meet again. May the grace, hallelujah, rest, root, and abide within our hearts, Father God. It's for the now and the Lord. And hallelujah. And forevermore, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.